Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning. It's good to have everybody. Everybody's in a little different place. I kind of like that. It gives me a little something to do when I stand up here to find out where everybody is. So thank you for being here. And thank you for those of you who are with us online. I certainly appreciate the comments made about that. For those that don't feel comfortable because of health reasons, and man, is that an understandable thing? We appreciate your faithfulness in worshiping with us online. So thank you for that. This lesson is a result of going back through old lessons. I try to take inventory every so often of what I've preached in the last year or two, because there are certain subjects that we need to preach on. And I will tell you this about this particular subject. For a long time, we had one teenager in this building, Cole Sager. Then we had two, with Cole and Justin. But now that we have a few more, I think this kind of lesson is needed all the more. Dating to marriage. These are important subjects. These are Christian subjects. As Mitch read to us, these are God's subjects. It is God who realized that man needed a woman. It is God who took woman out of man. It is God who gave them the relationship of marriage to be together so that they could be bound together as one flesh. What a blessing it is from God. Well, how does this occur? How is a Christian supposed to find a mate? How does it just accidentally happen? Just Hadley and Rice are not here today. I was planning on picking on them. How did that happen? Did they just wake up one day and all of a sudden they were married? They never knew each other before. And their parents picked them out and put them together and that was it? How does it happen? How did your parents become the Christian parents that they are? How did the people in the church that you look up to as Christian examples, how did that happen? How did they find a spouse? All these things matter. So this morning we're going to talk about the idea of dating to marriage. And there's a line that I quote probably every time I talk about this from a book by Randy Simmons called Straight Talk for Teens. It's been around for a long time. It's a good little book. And he says something that may seem nonsensical, but I think makes a lot of sense. Of course, you don't marry every person that you date, but you are going to marry some person you date. Now, there's some wisdom in that. And I tell you what it does, it makes us realize that we should take this subject seriously. Because there are many a person who got into a relationship with someone who was not a Christian, who was not the right person for them. And you know what? Over time, you date them for a year, year and a half, and there can kind of become an inevitability to what's going on here. And before you know it, you're in a situation you can't get out of. So the time to think of it is now. So we're going to talk about this today. And I took these questions you're about to see from a book by a man named David Banning entitled Dating to Marriage. And he wrote a Get Them Talking series. It's a very good series. And in his book on this subject, he asked these questions. And I will tell you why I put them up here. Because some of this did not occur to me. I don't know that I ever asked these questions. I think women, Hadley wrote her wedding vows. Hadley just married her myself. And she talked about the fact that she thought of her wedding day since she was a little child. I think that's kind of unique to women. Because as a man, some of these questions did not occur to me. I think they did occur to women. Why should a Christian date? Why should a Christian date? Our dating should have a purpose. Who should a Christian date? That's going to be the shortest point of the subject. Where should a Christian go on a date? Where should a Christian not go on a date? How does a Christian know how to marry? That's a big question. How do you know they're the right one? And I'll add another one here. Ask your parents how they knew. One of the things that Banning does in his book is really a fantastic job, is he involves the parents in these questions. On and on and on and on. I think sometimes as young people, we tend to think our parents don't know anything, right? The old Mark Twain quote is so apropos here that he was, I'm going to get this a little bit wrong, so just bear with me. When he was 17 years old, he was surprised at how stupid his old man was. He didn't know how to tie his shoes. He came back 8 years later and he was surprised at how much the old man had learned in 8 years. Well, you get the joke, right? The old man was just as smart when he was 17, but we tend not to act that way. Involve your parents in your dating. Ask your parents questions about dating. Don't be separate. Don't make the second biggest decision of your life. Christianity is the first big decision of your life. The second most important decision of your life will be who you marry. Involve your parents in that. Okay. Everybody pay attention for just a minute. You can go to sleep in just a second. Regardless of what I say here today, young people, your parents are right. Children, obey your parents. Every parent in here is raising their child differently. Okay? Every parent will have a different set of rules for their child to date than others will. Do you know which set of rules is right every time? Your parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right before God. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Okay, so everybody clear on that. No matter what Jason Sayin says, if my parent says yes or no, your parent is right. All right, let's get into it. And this lesson is going to be very similar to last week's lesson in that how do we navigate these things? The Bible doesn't answer every question about this, but the Bible gives us guidelines about what is right or wrong, right? We talked about the idea of transgenderism and homosexuality last week. The Bible doesn't address that per se, but it says how our sexual relations should be managed. Well, kind of the same thing with dating here. So let's get into this. Do you plan to be married someday? How old will you be? I took these straight out of Banning's book. That never occurred to me. But I tell you what it should occur to me is, if I plan to be married by a certain age, or I think I'm going to be married by a certain age, who am I dating now? Okay? The person that I write notes to in class when I'm 10 or 12, kids still do that, right? No, I'm probably scared to death to know what kids do in class. The kid that I'm writing notes to in 12, probably not the person I marry when I'm 22, 24, 25, 30. Older than that. Slightly. Okay? So we need to be concerned about it. There's a difference between who I trade notes with at 12 and who I'm if I'm dating somebody 20 years old. Listen, man, I need to be, that's a different time in my life. How many years away will this be? How do you think you will meet your spouse? That's a big question. Talk to your parents about how they met and decided to marry. Can't say that enough. So why should a Christian date? A Christian should date because we should want to be married. It is God's gift to mankind that we be married. It is God's gift to womankind that you be married. This is what the Word of God says about it. The reason we date is because we want to be married and we want to be happy and we want to be faithful. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. How is that going to happen? You're going to have to date them. You're going to have to talk to them and meet them and find out who they are and who you are. That's involved in finding a wife. Man who finds a woman is a good thing, obtains favor from the Lord. Colossians 3:19. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Wives, a husband is bound to love you by command of God. To find a Christian husband is to find someone who is obligated to love you all of your life. What a blessing. I'm not being funny about that at all. What a blessing. Faithfulness within the marriage relationship, love within the marriage relationship. These are things that are from God and not from men. Why should a Christian date? A Christian should date with marriage in mind, and a Christian should date with the understanding that marriage is a blessing from God. So if I'm going to find a wife, I need to be looking in the right places. If I'm going to find a faithful husband, I need to be looking for the right kind of man and looking in the right places. So who should a Christian date? This won't take long. A Christian. All right, well, next point. Now, of course, there are people in this building that are either currently married to or did marry people that at the time were not Christians. Okay? But I will tell you something about this. That's a dangerous gamble. I say it doesn't always work out, but it's a dangerous gamble. I need to be looking, if I want to find someone who's going to be faithful to God and faithful to me, they need to be a Christian. I love quoting this out of the New American Standard because this is the way I have it in my mind. Bad company corrupts good morals. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, and that's the way it's recorded in the New American Standard. But I want you to turn for just a minute to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And everybody gets jumpy. Listen, there are a few sermons a preacher will ever do that get people more anxious than sermons about dating. Everybody's got an opinion. Everybody thinks preacher's wrong. Everybody, how dare you say that? I know this one person. They married a heathen and they became a Christian. It was the best thing ever. Okay, sure. But is it the best thing? Would you stand up here and preach? I tell you who you need to marry. You need to be a married drunken sot who curses the Lord. That's who you need to find for a husband or a wife. Don't look for no Christian. Get out there and find you some pagan you can convert. Oh, that'll work out great. More importantly, what does the Word of God say? We talked about this last week. How do we navigate transgenderism? We look at what the Word of God does say is right or wrong. How do we navigate dating and marriage? We look at the Word of God and we submit to it. Let's read this. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 18. By the way, I'm not going to make as much of this as could be made of it, so we'll read it and let it stand for itself. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. I tell you, that preacher from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, that guy's hateful. He's honoring. He says things I don't like. Holy Spirit, God, speaking to Paul. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, that I will welcome you. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Who should you date? Who should you marry? If you're going to marry a Christian, you need to date a Christian. And you need to set those parameters early. When Macy Brown meets a young boy, and that young boy is enraptured with her beauty, and he brings her flowers and gifts, what does Macy Brown need to say? Look here, home slice. This is the way it is. I'm a moral person. The Bible has rule in my life. I'm going to be faithful to my spouse until marriage, and my spouse is going to be a Christian. The time to say that is not 10 months from now. The time to say it is now. I said I wasn't going to say much about this verse. I'm lying. Go read 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the latter half of it, and 2 Corinthians chapter 6 are I think, similar verses. Because they talk about the realization that God's Spirit dwells within us. And who we join ourselves to physically, we join ourselves to in spirit, not only with the Holy Spirit of God, but with Jesus Christ himself. Pray about those things. Ponder about those things. See about how they apply to marriage. Let me say one point here. This is another wake up for just a second point. Just because a person is a Christian does not mean that they are the Christian for you. Serious point. Just because they are a Christian does not mean they are the Christian for you. You can date a Christian and figure out they're not who you want to marry. That's okay. Right? I think there's a danger here. Man, the preacher said I got to marry a Christian. Well, I'm dating so-and-so. He's a Christian. I guess I got to marry him. No. No. Let me tell you something. We're all married to who we need to be married to. We're all Christians in here. I guarantee you that there are personalities and there are lifestyle things that don't mesh. Not everybody could live with me. But I'll just tell you that right now. Wendy Sage is special and different. I was 30 years old. I had been a bachelor a long time. I was and am very set in my ways. She's not. She was the right Christian for me. Just because they are a Christian does not mean they are the Christian for you. One more thing. I say this every time I do this lesson. Philip Shumake said, you want to know what you need to do about this whole situation? You run toward Jesus as fast as you can, and then you turn around and you see who's running with you. There's your answer. Who should you date? You take your Christianity seriously. You run toward Jesus, and then you find someone who's like you in that way. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 6. Many a man proclaims his steadfast love. Oh, many a man tells you, but a faithful man, who can find? If they're going to be faithful to you 5 years from now, they're faithful to the Lord now. If they're not faithful to the Lord now, the odds that they'll be faithful to you down the road are not good. So who should a Christian date? Another Christian. Lay down the law early. Let your spouse know that's who you're marrying. Let the person know that you're dating, that that's who you're going to marry. So why should we date? Who should we date? How about this? Where should a Christian go on a date? I thought this was a great insight. Kayak. Hike. Go-karting. Play basketball. Play horseshoes. Maybe you enjoy a hobby. Maybe it's flying a drone. Maybe it's model airplanes. Maybe it's working on cars. Whatever it is. There are things for you to do together. You know, television and media presents such a terrible view of what it's like to date somebody, right? Dates are all not chocolates and strawberries and whatever's going on here. They're not all rides on yachts, right? But your marriage is not all dates either. I hate to tell you this. Your marriage is about Tuesday morning at 8:30. Your marriage is about getting through the tough times together. Your marriage is about disagreeing and finding a way to still love each other. Your marriage is about finding a way to disagree and not be honoring. To not say that thing just because you think it does not mean you should say it. That's marriage. And marriage is about these things. Does this person enjoy going to play frisbee golf with me? I know the phrase is disc golf. But I love frisbees, so I think about frisbees. There are things to do for Christians that are good dating activities. Worship. I know where you should be. I know where someone you date should be. Let me tell you something. If they won't come to worship with you now, it ain't going to get no better. If they don't open the door for you now, it ain't going to get no better. Something about free milk in a cow, right? Georgia Satellites, look it up, young people. Your potential husband is treating you better today than they will treat you in your marriage. That's probably, hopefully not true. But don't expect them to change. Let me tell you something. Men marry women thinking they'll never change. Women marry men thinking they'll change them. Both are wrong. If you don't like them now, if they're not everything you dream of now, don't marry them. Might it get better? Somebody will come up to me and tell me, yeah, I know. There's the one case, some guy you knew. Okay, that's great. That's the exception that proves the rule. Whatever you do in dating, remember that you are a Christian. Whatever you do in dating, remember that you are a Christian. Keep your conduct amongst the Gentiles honorable. This is what 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12 says. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Whatever you're doing in dating, it should be Christian. Whatever we do in our normal lives should be Christian. Because where we are, our light shines or it does not. So where we go on a date is important. What we do on a date is important. Yes, meals are important. Yes, eventually, Lord willing, we'll get back to going to the movies. I don't know how. You know, when I was a kid, that was your first move. Hey, would you like to go to the movies? Well, that was the thing. I don't know what kids are supposed to do today. Take a hike. Kayak. Go. You're lucky that you've got the city forum, by the way. Is that still a place still in? Go go-kart. Go bowling. Has anybody ever gone bowling and not had a good time? Every time I go bowling, you know what I say? Why don't I do this more often? Go do it. And whatever you do, keep your conduct honorable amongst the Gentiles. Remember who you are. Okay, where should a Christian not go on a date? Where should a Christian not go on a date? If there's booze or weed there, you should not go there. This applies across the board, just in case you're wondering for everybody else. If there's booze or weed there, you should not go there. Now, here's the other thing about where you go on a date, or not go on a date. Too far. Don't go too far. I tried desperately, I don't know how much time I wasted on this, trying to find video of a cop car going over a bridge. You know, back in the 70s and 80s, every plot involved a car chase, that the good guys would make the jump. Smokey and the Bandit is one of the famous examples. Smokey makes the jump. What happens to the cop car? He comes up to the jump and he doesn't make it. Do you know why that is? He went too far. Don't get so worked up and so built up you can't hit the brakes. Don't get over that bridge and wish, oh, I wish I weren't over this bridge now. The time to think about that is not when you're going 90 miles an hour toward the bridge. When you date, don't go too far. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. This is kind of a simple list of sins that we talk about all this fantastic passage. But just so you know, we talked about how do you navigate transgenderism. Here's how you navigate dating. What should a Christian engage in? What should a Christian not engage in? Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. If the act in which you are engaged has the word sex in it, and you are not married, it is too far. Are we clear about this? God wants you to have all the good sex you can stand to the person to whom you're married. Everybody gets nervous when I say this point.
Do you know what the world is trying to tell your kid right now? There is a lot of fun to be had. There's a lot of enjoyment to be had in illicit sexual involvement. And you know what we're telling them? There's no fun in that. That is wrong. It is wrong to be engaged in that behavior. Wrong, 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 wrong. Then a man and a woman are married for 2 or 3 years, they got problems. You want to know one of the reasons why? Because the woman's so hung up, she didn't know what to do with herself. I'm telling you right now, God wants you to have good sex to the person you're married to. By definition, if you're not married to somebody, that is sinful behavior. Why? Because you're taking something that God has built a home for. He has built a relationship around. He has made man and woman compatible for those very things. And he has said, this is the environment in which this can flourish. A trusting environment. An environment where the consequences are only good. An environment where you can develop and learn over time and you can have no fear. Don't ruin that by going too far with someone to whom you're not married. One other thing I put on the board is the idea of sorcery. And this is a little bonus sermon, so you're welcome. People are so jumpy about what is and what is not in the Bible. Why does someone want to argue to me that the Bible nowhere clearly condemns absolute abstinence from alcohol? Because they want to do what? Drink. Are there exceptions? Yes. But 80-9%, that's a rough number, of people who are telling me that there's no prohibition against alcohol. The reason they're telling you that is because on Saturday afternoon when they're watching the game in the garage with their boys, they want to have a beer and they don't want to hear about it from you, preacher. Well, the new version of that is, well, now pot's legal. I don't think pot's completely legal in Tennessee, but you can go somewhere in the United States and find it. You see that word sorcery? Do you know what that involved at the time? It involved mind and mood-altering drugs to get into such a heightened state that you would prophesy.
it can mean magic tricks, but it also means, go back and look up the Roman oracles. The Oracle of Delphi. What these people would do is they would get themselves so worked up on hallucinogens that they would prophesy. That's sorcery. So why should you be getting so worked up on a hallucinogen now? It's listed as a sin of the flesh. It's just as sinful to steal. It's just as sinful to lie. To engage in sexual activity outside of marriage. Engage in drunkenness. To engage in sorcery. Okay. I talked about this idea of where a Christian should go and not too far. On every page of Banning's book, every single chapter, this verse is in the heading. Every single one of them. Your dating relationship affects your marriage. You may be single now, but you have a spouse. You have a spouse. Michael Leahy has a spouse. He may not realize it yet. He may not have met him yet. But he has a spouse to whom he needs to be faithful. He has a marriage relationship against which he can sin now. You would never think it would be okay to commit adultery within a marriage relationship, so why are you sleeping with someone you're not married to now? In fact, the phrase that we call fornication, the King James word there is fornication, that's a good word. You have two words there, fornication and adultery. The definition for fornication or sexual immorality is sex relations amongst the unmarried. It is sinful to engage in sex relations among someone who I'm not married to. I'm married. If I have sexual relationships with someone to whom I'm not married, that's sinful. It's sexual immorality. It's fornication. It's also adultery. But if I have sex with someone to whom I'm not married, I'm sinning against the person I will be married to one day. Talk to a therapist. Hebrews 13 and verse 4. Let marriage be held in honor among all. That means if you're married, that means if you're not married. And let the marriage bed be undefiled. The marriage bed is undefiled unless you defile it. For God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Let me speak plainly. I can't tell you where the line is. You get people get jumped. Remember Ephesians 6:1. It's holding hands too far. It's kissing on the lips too far. It's French kissing too far. Okay? I can't give you a hard and fast one. But I can tell you this. If you're running 90 miles an hour toward that bridge, and you get halfway up that bridge, that's not the time to say stop. When I was a kid, they would do these sermons. I don't know if anybody's old enough to remember this phrase. They would talk about heavy heading. Anybody old enough to want to admit that they remember that phrase? Is a kiss on the lips too much? I would say no. If your parents say yes, listen to me. Is holding hands too much? I would say no. Hugging too much? No. But somewhere between there and any activity that involves the word sex is too far. And let me tell you something. If the old Meatloaf song, you go rushing around second base and you round third. Dave Brown, if I'm rounding third and I'm real fast and I get halfway down home, can I turn around and get back? No. Don't get headed toward home and then wonder why you couldn't stop. Your boyfriend will become very persuasive. Your boyfriend will vow things he never knew he could vow. Make up your mind now. Tell your boyfriend, tell your girlfriend, I'm going to be faithful to my spouse. If that's you, we are going to marry and you are going to know that I can be faithful because I'm going to be faithful to you now. That means no sexual interaction until we're married. Don't wait until you're in the back seat of a car and you can't find every piece of your clothing and decide, I'm going to tell them now. See that little verse right there, Ephesians chapter 4? Give no opportunity to the devil. The King James of that says, give no space. Don't be in a situation where you're giving Satan an opportunity. If you don't want to slip, don't go around slippery places. Where not to go on a date? Too far. Don't get carried away and try and stop. Run from there. The example of Joseph has been quoted so many times. Why? Because it is wonderful. Because it's so complete. Joseph realizes who his sin would be against. Joseph finds himself alone in a home with a woman he's not married to, and that woman propositions him. What does he do? Hang around and see what happens? How bad could it be? Joseph runs out naked. Now, I'm generally not in favor of nakedness. If you'd seen me, you know. You do whatever it takes. This is the point. If you have to run out of that situation screaming, you run out of that situation screaming because your sin is not against Potiphar. Your sin is not against the girlfriend's father. The sin is not against the girlfriend. The sin is against God. God. Genesis chapter 39, I'll read the text to you. I'll start at verse 9. Verse 9, Joseph says, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Verse 11, but one day when he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house were in the house. Excuse me, I should read it instead of trying to quote it. When he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was there in the house. Got ahead of myself. One of the places you don't go on a date is alone by yourself. You know where I'm, Jason said, you know where I'm not going to be? I'm not going to be alone in a room with someone who's not my wife. I'm old and dead. If I don't need to be alone, and let me tell you something, old people sin just as much as young people are. If you think, young people, that this is a lesson I'm pointing to you, let me tell you something. There are 40 and 50-year-olds driving preachers crazier than kids these days. I don't need to be alone in the house with a woman that's not my wife, and neither do you. And this is part of the problem here with Joseph. Now, he can't help it. He's a hired hand. But he realizes what he needs to do here. Let me start. I've bungled this so badly. Let me read it clearly. But one day, when he went into the house to do his work, so he has to be there, and none of the men of the house was there in the house, she, this is Potiphar's wife, caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. Do not give opportunity to the devil. Where's the wrong place to be on a date? Too far. Finally, how do I know the right one? How does a Christian know who they should marry? This is maybe the most difficult of all the things we're going to deal with. Are they a Christian? Are they a Christian? Do they respect my Christian life? If I say I'm going to be at worship on Sunday morning, do they come with me or do they fuss? If I say I got a Wednesday night Bible study, I know we're not meeting in person right now. You tell someone Wednesday night at 7 o'clock you got to be on Facebook Live. See how they react. You want to know who you should marry? Judge that reaction. It's a great litmus test. Do they respect your Christian life? That's your Christian life. Do they respect it? Are they led by the Spirit? We're going to read from Galatians chapter 5 in just a moment. Are they given to sin? If your spouse is given to sin now, they will be given to sin when you are married. Are they faithful to God, their parents, and their friends? I think specifically of men. Are you a stand-up guy? Ladies, when you're looking at who to marry, is he sorry? I use that word a lot. Does he keep a job? Is he a good friend? Does he obey his parents? Is he faithful to God? This gets back to the whole, is he a Christian thing? If none of those things is true, you need to run with your garment, if all possible, in his hand and get out.
Because if they're not a good friend and they're not a good child and they're not a good Christian, they're not going to make a good husband. Are they trustworthy? Maybe the most important quality in a mate is faithfulness. And their faithfulness determines whether you can trust them. Guys, girls, listen to me. Your married life, I know that you think it's all flowers and rainbows, and a lot of times it will be flowers and rainbows, but it's also about Tuesday morning going to work. Mitch Brown has to go to work in New York City. How does he do that? If he doesn't trust his wife, he doesn't do it very comfortably. If he's found a woman that is trustworthy and faithful, he can go to New York City and know that the right thing is being done, and vice versa. How does Nadia Brown live with herself while she's raising those kids while Mitch Brown is in New York City? Because she's found somebody that's trustworthy and loyal and faithful. And their marriage is going to be good because of it. If you can't trust them, guys, if you can't trust them, don't even think about marrying them. Your whole life is based on trust. I mentioned being led by the Spirit. I've got two verses and the lesson is yours. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 24. We talked about the things that you should not do, sexual immorality, drunkenness, sorcery, those kinds of things. You will not inherit the kingdom of God if you engage them. They are sinful. So what does it mean? What does it mean to say I'm looking for a spouse that's led by the Spirit? Read this verse. Hold this verse up. Think of a mental image of your person you're dating, and you hold this verse up, and you ask yourself, is this a mirror image or not? Are they these things? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. One last verse. Turn to Genesis chapter 24. And I really struggle with whether to use this verse. Who you marry is not about who the best looking boy is in school. Who you marry is not about the best looking girl you can find. Blatantly honest with you, when I was a teenager, that's the way I thought the game worked. I thought, well, I'll get out here and I'll get me a job and I'll find the best looking woman with my money and my good looks that I can find, and that's who I'll marry. I thought of it as a contest that way. I think a lot of people think of it as a contest that way. Who can I find that's rich? Who can I find that's good looking? Those things have nothing to do with your marriage at all. Should you be sexually attracted to your mate? Yes. Should you think your mate is attractive? Yes. But other than that's the bar, your marriage is about your life. Your marriage is about your best friend that you're going to have when you don't have kids, when you have kids, and then when you don't have kids again. When the times are good and when the times are bad. When your parents die, when your parents are alive, when people you know betray you. You should have one person in your life that has self-control and faithfulness and whom you can trust and who comforts you. And is the person meant for you? Somebody led by the Spirit. Somebody who helps you get through the tough times in life. That's what your marriage is for. Abraham has his servant going back to his family to find a bride for Isaac, his son, the son of promise. And he brings her back, and she's great looking. Rebecca is just hot as a $2 pistol. But that's not what matters. What matters is Isaac had found a companion, for better or for worse. I'll try to read this. Then Isaac brought her into the tent of Sarah, his mother, and took Rebekah. And she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. That's what you're looking for. If God blesses you with children, you're going to have to fight against them all the way. And you're going to need a partner in crime. And your kids are going to disappoint you. Your parents are going to disappoint you. But you're going to need one person to hold hands with the whole way through that you can trust. And if you date the wrong guy or girl now, you won't be able to trust them in that circumstance then. Marriage is about comfort. It is about completeness. It is about having your best friend for life. Choose wisely. Be faithful to that person now. If you're dating someone and you prove to them that you can be faithful, that you can refuse sexual advances as a single person, how much more trust will they have in you once you are married that you will resist the advances of others? What a solid relationship you will have. Blessed by God, ordered by God, given God wants these good things for you. So you can endure everything. Young people don't think about, and rightfully so. Most young people don't have big losses. Some of them do. We call them tragedies. Somebody you know close to you is going to die. Your economic situation is not always going to be perfect. Friends that you know will betray you. You'll have tough times in life. People that you can't imagine losing, you will lose. But God has given you a hedge against that by giving you a Christian spouse. When you date, have that in mind. I'm way over time. I'm so sorry. If you're not a Christian, why, oh, why won't you become one now? If you are a Christian and you've not been faithful in your attendance, you've not been faithful to your God and your morality, if you just are going through a tough time and you need to know that others care and others love you, we will pray for you, whether it be in repentance and confession or whether it just be in the fact that you need the prayers of faithful men and women. If we can help you in any way, please come forward so we can be seen.